Well, good morning. Most of you know who I am, but the people on the stream, if you don't, my name is Rocky McCool, and my lovely wife, that was the person up here singing that solo. Good job, baby. So Pastor Ron called me yesterday. He was sick. He asked me to pitch hit for him today. So you're stuck with me tonight. I mean, today. Not tonight. My Sunday school class this morning, I told him, hey, you're going to have to suffer through a little bit more this morning, listening to me some more. But my message today is going to be the voice of God. But before I start, I like to tell jokes sometimes. You guys like to hear a joke? Sure. Oh, one thing before I even start. I like a lively congregation. So if you guys want to say some amens, hallelujahs, you do that. I remember Dave, though, at the Christmas concert was saying kind of the same thing. And then he said, hey, if you feel like getting up and dancing, go for it. Today, probably dancing is probably a little too much, okay? But everything else, free game, okay? So this joke. I was told this joke 47 years ago in eighth grade. I was picked to go to a leadership camp, it was like over the weekend, and the subject was on communication. Now, over the years, I don't know why I was picked. I even looked in my yearbook to see if I was even on the student government at the time. I wasn't. But now I finally have realized why. So 47 years later, I can tell you this joke. It's the only thing that I remember from that whole conference, but this joke. Now, I want to remind you that this was a public school district event. When I tell you this joke. And the person who told me this, told us this joke, was our dorm counselor. So here we go. Now I want to take you back in the time when it was King Arthur days, when there was kings and queens and knights and jousting, all right? So there was these two kingdoms. And there was this little kingdom and this big kingdom. And this little kingdom got tired of getting bullied by this big kingdom. And they wanted to do something about it. But they know they couldn't go to war with them. They were being slaughtered, right? But in those days, what they would do to settle disputes would do debates. Now, in this big kingdom, there was this great oracle who had never lost a debate. And on this little kingdom, so the king decided he's still going to go ahead and challenge them to a debate. So he goes to all his wise men to ask, who will debate this guy? Of course, none of the wise men, no, we're not going to do that. They'd be embarrassed. This guy's never lost. So the king of the little kingdom goes, wow, it's too late. I can't cancel this. We got to go through it. So what does he do? He offers up to all the rest of the men of the kingdom. He finally finds one person, one man who would do it. He was just an average guy, kind of like mostly like you and I. Nothing special about this guy, right? So the day of the event, imagine this. There's this great valley, and in this big kingdom, they're all their people, all are surrounded it, right? And in the middle of this valley, there's little three hills. You have one oracle on one side, the other oracle on the other. And then this other little hill from all the people from the little kingdom is on there. So you know, back in those days, they don't have no mic. So what they had to decide, they're going to use sign language. So it starts. This great oracle, he goes, the average guy goes, The great oracle goes, ooh. This great oracle goes, the average guy goes, Now the big oracle, he's getting a little worried. He goes, so he pulls out an apple. The average guy goes, he pulls out wine and bread. So the great oracle goes, oh, I give up. I give up. He's just too wise for me. So they all go back to their kingdoms. And the great king of the big kingdom, they're all depressed. And they say, they ask that oracle, what did this man say to you to quit? He goes, well, king, I said, there's one God. He told me, yes, but in three persons. I told him God was everywhere. But he told me, yeah, but he's right here in my heart. I pulled out an apple to symbolize when Adam and Eve sinned and went separated from God. But he pulled out wine and bread to symbolize when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He goes, wow, pretty wise. So back at the little kingdom, they're cheering off, they're going crazy. And the king goes, ask this guy, man, what did you say to that guy for him to give up? He goes, I don't know, king. He told me, I'll give you 1 hour to get out of town. I said, will you give me three? I got a pack. He told me, hey, I got you surrounded. He said, yeah, sucker, but I'm right here. He pulled out his lunch and eat it. So I thought I would pull out my lunch and eat it too. So his counselor, he said, the moral of this story, since the weekend was about communication, is to make sure when you're communicating with somebody that you're not misunderstood by that the other person you're trying to communicate with. Amen. I tell you something. What I thought was remarkable, this was 1978, and a guy is that brave to sharing that story in a public school district forum. Back in, even in those days, you can't mix religion there. That was brave, and he let us know he was a Christian. I'll never forget that story. Even these days now, it's more relative to these days. Look at this cell phone. How many times have we used the text, and me, instead of typing, because I got fat fingers, I'll use the voice and send it without looking. Oh my, I don't know about you, but that has got me into lots of trouble. Don't get me started on Facebook. You try to reply a comment to a friend, and you trying to do something innocent, but they receive it a whole different way. And then you just go down that old rabbit trail that you regret you just never would have sent that comment. Communication, tell you. So, I guess it's time to get to it, right? The message. The voice of God. You know, when we're reading through books in the Bible, kind of like Leviticus and Numbers, if we were going to be honest with each other, those are kind of a couple of books we just don't jump with joy to read, right? This is really not much inspiration. Well, I used to thought that. I call that my stinking thinking. Because I started realizing in the book of Numbers, God is using his audible voice to speak to Aaron and Moses. Now, side note, I always wonder, is how many times did Aaron and Moses interrupt God in mid-sentence to say, I'm sorry, could you repeat that? How much grain do we use for that sin offering? Or other places in Genesis. Think about Noah. God is using his audible voice to tell Moses how to build that ark. Now, some of you guys, all right, who work on things, You know that those, when you're building things, those have to be precise. So you know Noah had to stop God in mid-sentence to repeat exactly what size is that? How many millimeters? I'm just saying. How about in the New Testament? We see God talking to John the Baptist. He sees his cousin, Jesus. You know he's excited. He's about ready to baptize his cousin. And what happens? Jesus comes up out of the water, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, who I'm well pleased." Side note, John, why later, a couple years later, did you send a couple of your disciples to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah?" John, you mean that voice coming from heaven 2 years earlier wasn't enough to tell you that he was the Son of God, telling you he's the Son of God? Come on, some of you had to been thinking something like that. I'm not the first one to think this kind of stuff, am I? I know some of the things that comes, some thoughts that come into my mind. How about the transformation when James, John, and Peter, oh my goodness, they got to see Moses and Elijah, and at the same thing, they heard the audible voice of God saying, "This is my son, who I'm well pleased." I don't know about you guys, but I'm super jealous about all these guys getting to hear God's voice. But then I started thinking, you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to get to hear his voice. How glorious it is, right? So as I come to meditate on God's word and what I wanted to speak about this morning, Romans 15:4 come to my mind. That's going to be our anchor passage today. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning with you. When you see a passage come up on the screen, we're all going to read it together. All right, together. Now, I'm doing this for two reasons. One, I'm hoping that if I mispronounce a word, you guys won't hear it because you're going to be too busy reading the screen. And two, for some of you who might possibly fall asleep because my message becomes a little boring, it will hopefully keep you awake by everybody reading out loud. All right? All right. Oh, my goodness. My notes just clicked off. Modern technology. Went to sleep. Here we go. Let's read together Romans 15:4. "Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled." Hope, encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. First point, scripture gives us hope. According to Easton's Bible Dictionary, hope is one of three main elements of Christian character. It is joined to faith and love and is opposed to seeing or possessing. See, hope is an essential and fundamental of a Christian life. So essential indeed that, like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. In it, the whole glory of the Christian vocation is centered. See, unbelievers are without this hope. You catching this? Our Christian vocation, or another word, our job as Christians, is to have hope through the Word of God. Hope is essential and fundamental of a Christian life. It's like food and water to our body. We got to have it to live. Let's read Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So just like food and water that fuels our body, having hope in the Lord renews our strength and our faith. See, if we're going to run the race of life and become weary or faint, if hope is in the Lord and not something else, we will run the race. Let's read Jeremiah 29:11. You guys ready? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Does this mean he's not going to let you go off on your own plan at times? Of course he does. I remember by my freshman year in high school, I knew I had a call to become a pastor. But I let the life distract me. And I went a different direction. And it just took me a mere 40 years to get back on God's plan and for me to become an ordained pastor. And his word is true. He has prospered me with a loving family who's going to hopefully carry on my legacy. He placed me in a church with a senior pastor to be my mentor for over 25 years. He's brought us to this church to make this our home. And yes, he gave me a wife of 43 years who has always supported me and had faith in me. Yes, the word of God is true. Amen. Let's read 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord always. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The word says, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Revere. It's a feeling of profound awe and respect, and often love and honor. It says, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Even on the golf course, you fellow golfers. Even on the pickleball court. We are so blessed to be able to have this pickleball court over there that can be used as a ministry. I think it's pretty awesome. I wish I could still play, but that's another story. But do this with gentleness and respect. I remember Julie and I was stationed in Hawaii. Yeah, I know, hard duty, right? But we would go up to Waikiki, and there was a guy that would sit on the corner, stand on the corner with this bullhorn, and he would be shouting out, repent, Christ is near, you know, save yourselves, right? All that stuff. Guys, that's not gentleness and respect. People flocked away from this guy. They didn't flock to him. Julie and I would just avoid him like the plague when we go down there and walk on, make sure we're walking on the other side of the street. Gentleness and respect. All right. Second point here. Scripture gives encouragement. Let's read Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Do you believe that, church? Amen. I do. I even at a time in my life, I didn't even realize it. It was in high school. Julia and I, it was after a date. We were in front of her house talking. Yes, church, just talking. It was a rainy day. And all of a sudden, we get a knock on my window right here. I first thought it might have been her father, but I rolled it down, and it was an elderly lady. And she was in distress. You can see even blood on her face. And she said she was lost. She knew she lived somewhere in this neighborhood, but somehow she became lost. And would we help her? Of course we were going to help her. So Julie and I got her in my car, and after talking to her, we realized what she had been drinking a little bit. And she had confessed that her boyfriend had beat her up. So after talking to her, we realized where she lived. So we took her in front of her apartment. And Julie and I was walking her to her door. And I saw the door open. I told Julie at that time to go call the office and call the police. I should have stayed outside. But like a dummy, I'm going to go inside. I'm going to try to look to see if it's safe for her to go in, right? So I'm going through doors, bathrooms, showers. Sure enough, I opened up this closet, and there he was. I jumped back. He jumped back into the closet. Quickly realized he was just drunk. I told him, hey, man, I was trying to get him out of there. The cops are coming, man. You better get out of here. He goes, oh, thank you. And he boogied on out of there. Cops came in for a few minutes later. I explained what I did. Oh, wrong answer. I should never have told him what I did. Man, I sat there for about 30 minutes getting a lecture from them about how I was being so stupid, that I didn't know what I was going into. I wasn't trained, and that this guy could have possibly had a weapon and killed me. See, God was even looking after me. I didn't even realize it. He was keeping me safe. It says, he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Church, when you are at a crossroad in your life that a decision needs to be made, Deuteronomy 31:8 is a good verse to remember. All right? He's going to go, whatever decision you make, he's going to go before you. And he will not leave you or forsake you. Amen? Amen. That's a promise. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You guys ready? Therefore, encourage one another and build each one up, just as in fact you are doing. If you don't remember anything else about this message, remember that. The world today needs more encouragement. The people that we are with daily needs more encouragement and building up. Yes, even your friends on Facebook, they need encouragement and building up. Amen? Amen. Let's move to the third point. Waiting patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. Of course, one of the promises is, of course, Christ's second coming. But how about this one? He has given us eternal life. Let's read John 3:16. We all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? See, not only will we live eternally, but we will be in a wonderful place where there's no more tears, no more cancer, no more pain. Amen? Side note, church. Knowing that God exists is not the same as knowing God personally. To know God personally is to be saved and have eternal life. Amen? Let's read John 17:3 together. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. See, the Bible also reveals that God cannot be known personally apart from his word. It contains the gospel that must be believed. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. You cannot come to the Father through Muhammad. Joseph Smith or any other religion. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen? Let's read Ephesians 1:13. You ready? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. See, the gospel brings forth saving faith in itself. The gospel can therefore be called the power of God to salvation. The Bible is God's will and must be applied to our lives. Well, we're just running right through this. Nancy asked me when I would be done. I told her about 30, 40 minutes, but it's going to be way sooner. In a few minutes, I'm going to need someone to probably go get Nancy. There you go. I love that. All right. I want to conclude this morning with this. Let's read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, all scripture is God breathed, or another way of saying this, it's God's voice. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Remember, always in gentleness and respect, and training in righteousness. The Webster Dictionary defines righteousness as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. But church, I say that training in righteousness is not about moral law. All right. It's about learning to trust the Holy Spirit to change our hearts so that the servants of God, you and I, believers in the Lord, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? You guys got it? Good. Keep it. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. We just thank you for giving us this church. I thank you for all these fellow believers here in this church, Lord. I want to lift them up. We want to especially lift up Pastor Ron as he's sick, Lord. We pray for him to be a quick recovery so he can be back with us next week, Lord. Be with him. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.